In just a moment, we're going to read together out loud 1 Corinthians 15. We'll begin in verse number 50 and read down through verse number 58. The wonderful Russian author Tolstoy said years ago, writing in his Confessions, that men live on this planet and they live and leave with four attitudes, some one or two or three, some all four of these attitudes. Tolstoy said, life is bad. Some get drunk and forget it. A second attitude is that life is bad, and some simply struggle against it. He said, number three, life is bad and some commit suicide to be removed from it. And then Tolstoy said, I am of the fourth attitude. Life is bad. Live irrationally and simply accept life as it comes. Isn't that hope? Doesn't that just thrill your soul? Jean-Paul Richter from Germany said, we're all orphans on this planet. Every soul, listen to this, every soul in this vast corpse trench, he said the world was a grave, in this vast corpse trench of a universe is utterly alone. All by yourself. No help anywhere. That's what a Russian said. That's what a German said. Now I want you to read with me what a Jew said. Paul differed with all of that because he had met a Nazarene and Jesus had completely revolutionized his life. And Paul had had a little glimpse into the next world. We preached about it 2 weeks ago where he was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw and heard what man couldn't speak. And here's what he said about our world and then where we're going. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50. Let's read together out loud all together. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would be people of hope today because Jesus has overcome. Thank you, Lord, that this planet is not all there is. There is another place, and you have opened the door unto it. Prepare every heart and life under the sound of my voice this night for entrance into heaven. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you be seated. I can identify with old Tolstoy sometimes, can't you? Just seems like life sometimes is just awful. Our deacon chairman met with me tonight at 5:15 to praying. He said, Pastor, how's your day been? I said, it's been hellish. I said, boy, God must want to do something this weekend because the devil's been beating on my door. He said, what happened to you? I said, the ballast went out in the light in my house. I had to go this morning down to one of those stores and buy a ballast. I finally found one. Guy gave it to me. Saw two church members while I was in there. I told one of them on the way, he's going to be in this service tonight. I said, if I'm not there, I got electrocuted and I've gone to heaven. I went home, got all my toys out of my toolbox, started tearing stuff out, unwiring, doing, got that thing out, put the other one up in, got all the wires. I'm sweating like a pig. I mean, it's just awful up in toward the ceiling, and it's in the closet, and I'm stepping on my clothes and everywhere else I am and crawling up in there. And I get the whole thing. I plug them in. Buddy, it fires up. It's working. I like to shout it right there. Didn't take but 2.5 hours. I'm telling you, I had a great day. Well, that included going to get the ballast and come back. Then I took the bubs back out to put the little piece in the middle. Both ends broke off the light fixture. It was wired for light, but it wouldn't hold the bubs. I took the stuff down. I didn't cuss. Grass turned brown where I spit outside, but I didn't cuss. I went and called a friend. And I said, I want you to come fix this light. I pay $100 an hour. Doesn't make me any difference. Just come fix it. You ever have one of those days? Easter morning, amen. You know, there's times when I just want to agree with you. Just life is bad and there is no hope. But friend, you don't have to look far. There's a lot of people not only in this life worse off than you, but let me tell you, you don't have to look very far just to look up and know he's already been here and he's coming again. You see, death is dead. Death died when Jesus rose from the grave. And in this passage, here Paul asks these questions. He cries out to death, hey, death, death. He makes fun of death. He says, hey, death, where's your victory? Don't have one. Hey, death, where's your sting? He goes on to say that the sting of death is sin, and we've all got it. Everybody in here's been stung. Everyone's been stung because we've all sinned. We tore down a big two-story house out here the other day. I had the biggest time Friday. I got out Thursday, it was. They were going to tear that deal down there waiting on me to get there, and I drove up, and Ricky jumped out of the truck. He waved me, said, Pastor, come here. And he helped me get up on the top of that thing. He put me in there, cranked it up, strapped me in. He said, now tear it down. I said, what do you do? He said, just grab those joysticks and have at it. Well, I grabbed one. That thing started going around. They told me that machine cost $3,000 a month, just the payment on it. I said, you going to let me drive? He said, yeah, have at it. Man, we reached up for that big claw and just ripped the end out of it. We knocked it down. Got about halfway down. I was give out. I was so tense. So I got out and they tore the rest of the way down. Got to the other end of the house. They forgot to tell them there was a big honeybee hive in the other end of that house. Man, he hit that wall. They came boiling out of there. I mean, it's like clouds rolling in before a thunderstorm. There was a guy making pictures. Those bees got down in his shirt. Man, he's running, turning. We was beating him, trying to get those things off of him. He was stung. I mean, those bees got on. And let me tell you, friend, the way those bees stung him, I'm telling you, sin has stung us all. We've all been stung with sin. Everybody under the sound of my voice is a sinner. Now, there's some been stung more than others. But you just have to get stung once to be guilty of all. You see, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Not only do we all have a sin problem, we all got a law problem because none of us can keep it. God's told us what to do, but we can't do it. The sting of death is sin. We've all done it. The power of sin is the law, and none of us can keep it. But verse 57 says, but thanks be to God. Amen. because the victory is found in Jesus Christ. When you saw those two people baptized, that adult and that young boy, they were placed under that water, Brother John did. And he said to them that they have been buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism shows. It shows the victory march of the Lord Jesus into the grave for our sin. Up from the grave, he arose. He's a victor today, and he's alive forevermore. You see, Jesus is alive, and death is dead. Amen. Because those that are saved and are dead will be raised. The perishable is going to put on the imperishable. Amen. I've got enough perishable, hadn't you? I've got enough mortal. I need some immortality. One day my mortal is going to put on immortality. My perishable is going to put on the imperishable. But we're not dead yet. No. What do we do till we go over there? Well, I want you to look in verse number 58. That's the sermon for this Easter. Look at verse number 57, 58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because of resurrection, there are four things I want you to see this Easter. Number one, because of resurrection, I want to say to you, be victorious. I want you to say that with me. Because of resurrection, be what? Victorious. Be a victor. Be victorious. I want to introduce to you tonight two of my dear friends from Kazakhstan that are both victorious. They are victors. Luba, you and Rima, I'd like you to come and join me right here. Give them a good warm olive greeting, wouldn't you please? Yeah. You got a microphone? This is Luba right here. This is Rima. Rima speaks very, very, very little English, just a little. They are from Kazakhstan. Why don't you all move up just a little so they can see you? Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here also.
Amen. This is Rima. I met her when I was in Kazakhstan the first time. And I want, Rima, I want you to tell us where you grew up.
I was growing in Almaty. I grew up in Almaty.
And that is on the far eastern side of Kazakhstan. Correct.
Yes.
And where did you grow up there?
I was growing in an orphanage.
In an orphanage. So you didn't have a mother and father?
No, I didn't have any mother and father.
Now, how did you come to be in the orphanage?
Когда мне было 8 месяцев, я находилась в больнице, потому что моя мама нанесла мне 18 ножевых ранений.
When I was 8 or 9 months, I became in a hospital. I was put in a hospital because my mom stabbed me 18 times.
18 times.
И выбросила в мусорку.
And after that, she just threw me into the garbage.
And left her for dead.
And left her for dead. И заставила тебя умирать.
Да.
Yes.
What happened to you after that?
А что потом произошло с тобой после этого?
Когда уже исполнилось 5 лет, то меня перевели в детский дом.
But I was staying in the hospital all the time. But when I was 5 years old, I was put in an orphanage.
In an orphanage, just a state-run orphanage?
То есть это был государственный детский дом.
Да, это светский.
Yes, it is secular state orphanage.
And you didn't hear the gospel there?
И ты там не слышала никакого Евангелия никогда?
Абсолютно ничего.
Never.
Absolutely, I heard
Absolutely
that word.
Nothing.
Nothing. I got one word. I got it. That's right there.
Я понял это слово. Я понял это слово.
But there came a time when you did hear the gospel.
Но пришло же то время, когда ты услышала Евангелие.
Конечно, я познакомилась с одной девочкой, с которой училась в школе.
Oh yes, I got acquainted with one classmate. I was studying in a normal school. I got acquainted with a classmate.
Now, normal school means like a grade school.
Нормальная школа. Yes, like secular school, because orphanage, they just live in orphanage, but they go to study in a secular school.
Okay, and the person shared with her the gospel.
Итак, кто с тобой поделился этой Евангелием на самом деле?
Ее мама.
Her mother.
Her, the mother of the student.
The mother of the student.
Okay. How old were you when you heard the gospel?
I was 15.
15.
Yes.
And when did you receive Christ as your Savior?
Когда ты приняла Иисуса Христа как Спасителя своего?
17.
When I was 17.
17. And she was baptized after that?
И после этого ты приняла крещение?
Да.
Yes, I was.
Okay. And now you work for Bible Mission International.
Да, я сейчас работаю в библейской миссии и ближе работаю с детьми.
Yes, I do. I do work in Bible Mission and also I can have a ministry with the orphanages.
So she goes to the orphanages now.
Да, я сейчас хожу, да.
Is it an orphanage like where she grew up?
Это тот самый детский дом, в котором ты
росла? Да, где я росла и воспитывалась.
Yes, that's my own home where I was born, where I was raised.
The very place where she grew up.
Тот самый место, где ты росла.
Да, да, но там, слава Богу, многие дети покаялись и уже сами молятся, читают Библию.
Praise God. Many children of that orphanage already accepted Christ. They read the Bible, they can pray already, and they know God.
But that's a secular orphanage.
Но это светский детский дом.
Да, это светский.
Yes, it is.
Can you get in trouble for sharing the gospel?
Ну, а у тебя будут какие-нибудь проблемы, если ты делишься Евангелием там?
Ну, немножко есть трудности, не всегда пускают.
Yes, there are some troubles. Sometimes we are not allowed to come there. Как христиане. Ну,
да, да, да. Ну, Библию забрали, песенники, и вообще, им сказали, после 18 лет только можно.
Recently, the teachers just took all of the Bibles from the kids, and they told them, when you are 18 years old, you can believe in God. Before that, no, you are not allowed.
But she keeps going to the orphanage.
Но ты все равно ходишь в детский дом?
Да.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, so we kind of sneak in.
То есть получается проникаем, да, как?
Да, но мы стараемся, когда директор не работает.
We try to come there when there is no vice principal there and director doesn't know that we are coming.
Ah, amen. Wise as a Baptist.
Мудрый баптист говорит.
Of course.
Of course, amen. I got that one too.
Я тоже понял, как.
Now we're helping you do some of this work.
Ты знаешь, мы хотим помочь вам делать вот какую-то работу такую.
Да.
How can we help you
как
do that?
Вы можете приехать. Welcome to Kazakhstan.
Welcome to Kazakhstan. So, to come.
All right.
Приехать, и потом я вас отведу в детский дом, где я работаю.
I will bring you to the orphanage where we work.
And we're coming there this summer.
И мы едем в этим летом.
Этим летом? Really?
Are you coming personally?
I am not coming this summer.
Но он сам лично едет, но в церковь едет.
Окей.
And the pictures that you're showing us on the screen, what are they?
Что это за фотографии?
Это дети из детского дома, самого детского дома.
This is the pictures of the kids who are already right now in the orphanage number 8. So we can name it orphanage Olive.
All
number
right.
8.
We are looking at adopting this Ali, the orphanage number 8 that she works in. We have a group going there this summer. What I want you to understand out of this sweet girl's life. Her mother and father threw her away, but the heavenly father made her a victor. You see, there's victory in the Lord Jesus no matter the difficulty of your circumstance in your life tonight. If God can use Rima, what could he do with you? Rima, there are three things you ask us to pray for you.
Please pray for my ministry, for the children who are there in the orphanages. May I give just one statistic? There are 600 orphanages all over Kazakhstan. This is only Kazakhstan. It means 100,000 orphans. 100,000 orphans.
Второе, я хочу просить молиться о маме.
The second question, the second prayer request, I want to ask you to pray for my mom.
Я действительно ее хочу увидеть и рассказать о любви Божьей.
I really want to see her and I want to tell her about God's love.
You've never met your mother.
Ты никогда не встречала свою маму?
Нет, я ее очень люблю, хочу ее найти.
Never, but I love her very much and I really want to see her.
Это моя мечта, ее обнять, поцеловать.
I want to hug her, to kiss her.
Это моя мечта еще с детства.
That's my dream since my childhood.
Amen. And there was a third thing she wanted us to pray.
А третья мечта, слава Богу, Бог услышал мою молитву. Это я слышу лучше.
I used to have a hearing aid because I was almost deaf. But now God made a miracle and I can hear with my right ear much better.
И сейчас в апреле будет операция на второе ушко.
In April, the same doctor will do a surgery there in Kazakhstan. He will come back again.
And do it again.
And do the second surgery for the left ear now.
Amen. Yes. We're going to be praying for you. And after the service, out at the book table, I want you to be there so some of these people can come by and meet you. And some of them are going to come to Kazakhstan and help you in orphanage number 8. Wonderful, she says. Would you give them a good hand and let them know you love them? Thank you. Amen. Because of Christ and the resurrection, we can be victorious. There's a second thing this text tells us to be. Not only because of resurrection to be victorious. Number 2, to be steadfast. This word steadfast here means that your personal faithfulness, this sticking to it, fixed in position and purpose. This is the same word David used in Psalm 51 in verse number 10 when he prayed. After he had been caught messing around with Bathsheba, he repented. Said, oh God, create in me a steadfast spirit. Help me stay by the stuff of faith. You can be victorious because Jesus rose from the dead. You can be steadfast because Jesus rose from the dead. Thirdly, because of resurrection, not only be victorious and be steadfast, be immovable. Immovable. This word speaks not just of your personal faithfulness, but your personal faithfulness against opposition. Do you know that if you try to stand for Christ, you're going to have opposition? Did you hear what Rima was saying? Through the translator, as Luba said, there are times that they take all the Bibles away from them until 18. We have opposition. But God says to be immovable against opposition, not swayed with conflicting philosophies or morals that others put against us. Have you read the book of Job lately? Remember Job's friends, and somebody says, well, friends like that, who needs enemies? Job had 3 friends. You remember them, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These guys were not for him. They really were against him. You see, they brought opposition. But God says because of resurrection, you can be immovable. Let me tell you, friends, you take a stand for Christ, and there'll be opposition. But because he is raised from the dead, you can be immovable. Be victorious. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And then number 4, look at this. Notice what he says. Because of resurrection, not only be victorious and steadfast and immovable, but be always abounding. Look at it right there in verse number 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. This is personal faithfulness beyond what is demanded. This is second mile Christianity. This is moving past what you think that God's called you to do. This same word, abounding, is the word that is found in the Gospels when Jesus fed 5,000. You remember he had that little boy with the loaves and the fishes? He took the fish and the bread and they broke it and they broke it and they broke it. Then the Bible says they picked up how many baskets full? 12 of them. The Bible says that the fragments were this word, abounding. There was much more than they needed. Here's what God's calling Olive Baptist Church to do tonight. Because of resurrection, he's calling us to always be a victor, always be steadfast, always be a movement. Well, watch this. He is calling us to always abound, to go farther than ever we thought we should go or could go. We are to go farther, to do more, to reach more people, to go more places, to give the gospel. Always abounding. And I'm telling you, friend, if Jesus rose from the dead, and he did, we can always abound. Eric Miracle is our high school minister. Eric sits right back here. Eric asked me to read a book, and I read it. The title of the book is Rethink. I don't know if Eric just thought I needed to think more or what, but he said, Pastor, I've got a book. Have you read it? And I said, no, I'd like to, and you have a copy, and he loaned me his. I've read Rethink. Rethink says to rethink how we do youth ministry in church. I've been at this church now for 17 and a half years, and I've watched it. Since 1990, it happens over and over. The third grader Finally, they move into the sixth grade, and they walk up through middle school and high school. They sing in our youth choir, and they go on our youth trips. Then they go to college. And statistically in America, 75 out of every 100 teenagers that grow up in the church, in the Southern Baptist Church, 75 out of every 100 students, 75% drop out of the church, walk away. They do not remain steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. One third of those come back to the church when they turn 30. By the time they're 30, what brings them back? Marriage, first baby, divorce, crisis, parent dies. Something shakes them. But 50% just go away. I want to let you in on a little statistic that's not in Rethink. It's in Retrailer. It's not just the youth group. Hey, young adults. They're folk faithful for a long time, and all of a sudden, no longer are they steadfast. No longer are they immovable. They're moving. I don't mean moving to another town. I mean they're just drifting slowly away, and before you know, they're just gone. Some of you are in this room. You're one of those teenagers. You're 28, 29, 48, 49, 68, 69. And you showed up on Saturday night. You thought it'd be safe on Saturday night. How'd it go on Saturday night? You're so far away from God, you wouldn't know him if you met him in a 40-acre field. Well, you had an experience one time with the Lord. You used to sing Up From the Grave He Arose every Easter. You used to walk with God. I mean, you read your Bible, and all of a sudden, the Bible is cold and heaven's like brass. You don't pray. You don't visit the church. Your heart's just grown cold, like a stone. You're not a victor. You'd come closer to being Rima's parents than you are Rima. Is that not a phenomenal story? Little girl stabbed 18 times, thrown in a trash heap, and God's grace reached and picked her up. I heard that story the first time, sitting on the end of a bench, having dinner. I couldn't eat my food. She told her story, and I wept. God made her a victor, and now she's immovable, steadfast, abounding in that orphanage. So I'll preach, that's just another story. Now let me tell you, friend, I've been there multiple times. I watch her. I know. I checked them out before I gave a dollar. We got folks here today, old heart just cold and indifferent. I said, preacher, what do? Well, in this book of 1 Corinthians, we're right here in the next to the last chapter. In the very first chapter, in chapter 1, in verse number 9, there's a little verse that starts with three words. God, the God who called you, God is faithful. Hey, I got good news for you today. The God you used to serve, he's not given up on you yet. That God's faithful. The God who called you will sustain you. It is the greatest picture of his faithfulness in all the Word of God in Luke 15. Jesus tells three stories. He tells a story about a man who had 100 sheep. One of them got lost, and he left the 99, went and got the one sheep and brought it back. He had 10 silver coins. They kept 9 of them, but they lost one of them. The lady swept the house until she found it. But then he told the story, the third story. The first one about sheep, the second one about silver, and the next one about sons. One man had 2 sons. One of the sons came to him and said, Daddy, I've worked all my life. I want my inheritance now before you die. I want my inheritance ahead of time. That's the American way. Amen. That's what American kids do. They're prodigals. They don't want my money now. He said, all right. He gave it to him. The Bible says he went to a far country and he spent everything on righteous living, lost everything he had. The Bible says he finally came to his senses. He set up. He was eating with swine. He was with the hogs. And he set up. The Bible says he came to his mind and said, you know, my daddy's slaves got it better than I got it. I'm going to go back down there and see if I can just get on as a hired hand. The Bible says he walked, and when he came, the father saw him and came running. And the Bible says when he found him, he embraced him and he kissed him on the cheek. And tears came down his face and he said, this my son that was dead has come home and he's alive again. The father is faithful. Not only is he alive, he's faithful. And when he sees one of his own coming toward him, he comes towards you to hug you and kiss you and receive you and say, my son that was dead, he's alive again. But in that story, it's kind of got a sad ending. The other brother came in and said, what's going on? What's the party deal about? I said, hadn't you heard? Your brother's come in. Your daddy's killed the fatted calf. He's put rings on his fingers and bells on his toes, a bone in his nose. I'm telling you, they're having a time. He got angry. Church, if you get mad when God shows grace to somebody you hate, you're in worse shape than they are. I've had church members say, oh, he doesn't deserve a second chance. Well, who are you? I'm glad you're not the Father. Amen. Hey, I don't just need a second chance. I needed two or three up in that closet today. I could have got those wires to arc. I'd just been ready to go on to heaven. He says, come. Come. And I will in no wise turn you. Friend, if you are here today and your heart has gotten cold on the Father, if you'll come toward him, the Father will receive you.